Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
How were you able to escape and finally keep going? Like, what finally triggered in your head, like, that this is not okay and I'm just going to keep walking? I'm going to keep walking away no matter how hard it is.
Survival. You don't have a choice. I mean, your choice is to lay and have the covers over your head or fight.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Welcome to today's podcast / interview / YouTube interview. I am thrilled and honored to have Tracy Malone here with me today. Tracy is the founder of the Narcissist Abuse Support Group, which is huge. I mean, I don't even know if you expected it to be as huge as it was when you first started it, but it's incredible what she's done and how many people she's helped and the work that she's doing. And I'm going to let you tell a little bit more about yourself and your background.
Sure. Thank you. I am Tracy Malone. I am the founder of NarcissistAbuseSupport.com, which is a website. And those little white pins back there are the top 100 countries that we service. So we are all over the globe. And I have support groups both here in Colorado, as well as a Facebook group with over 10,000 members. And I'm a coach for victims of narcissistic abuse.
Yeah, an awesome one. Fantastic. So we're going to go back and have you tell us about your journey and history with narcissists and how you ended up coming to have this passion, because this is a passion project for you. It sort of started as a passion project. It's become like not, but you know, you actually had a very thriving and successful marketing company. But this, your passion has kind of come full circle into being a career for you.
Yeah.
But tell us about why you have such a passion for this.
Sure. So I knew nothing about narcissists, and I had gone through a horrific divorce. This is now 7 years ago. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why they were telling, I say they, so my husband and his family are sort of it was me against a family, and they were telling lies and they were making these false allegations that I stole this. There was never any proof. There was never any evidence, but they would just pound me. We had 7 trials, and after another, it was just why I didn't do that. Why can't he produce a single piece of paper? He was in contempt 6 times for not producing anything. They lied. He quit his job. Everything was just like, it was total chaos. And I battled for my life. I was not in a healthy emotional state at that point. My son had just gone to college, and I was alone and had just sold the marital house, and my world seemed to be falling apart. But I still didn't know what a narcissist was. After the divorce, I started dating a man that mutual friends introduced us to. So I thought he was safe and not safe, but just thinking, okay, somebody knew him. That's a badge of honor, if you would. And after dating him for 2.5 years, I found out he was cheating and walked away and said, thanks, have a nice day. And then a few months later, after he kept coming back, and I didn't know the word hoovering, he just kept coming back. Let me explain why I cheated with someone. I finally, after a church forgiveness day, I said, okay, you know what? Just going to let him go. I'm going to go tell him I forgive him and have a nice day. And I went over to forgive him, and he called the police and had me put in jail.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was in
wow.
24 hours, but my friend said, he's gaslighting you, look it up. So I started that rabbit hole. You know, I became an investigator to learn everything I possibly could. It led to obviously narcissistic abuse, which then explained my divorce. And I was like, oh my God, I was such prime bait for this guy because I had just come out of that. He'd actually seen what I had endured, you know, all of the crap I had thought he was being so supportive about was really him knowing what he could get away with later. And so that was a pretty devastating blow to me because I had two choices. In Colorado, if anyone had ever been in a intimate relationship and anyone calls the police, if you're fighting, your neighbor calls, someone has to go to jail. And so I now had a police record and they add domestic violence to it. I'm sitting there crying, trying to forgive him. Where's the domestic violence here? I'm confused. So, it becomes part of the charges, and he kept on lying. He created false documentation, a false recording that was edited, and he recorded. He walked into his garage with a recording device. Who does that? But then he edited it, and despite my efforts to have it analyzed, because I'm like, where's the part I talked about this and that and this, and none of it was there, and the police wow. said, we'll go ask him. And they marched to his house and come back to me. Nope, he didn't edit it. We're taking it as evidence. I'm like, that's falsifying evidence. So I had to plea because I didn't have the $30,000 they wanted to defend myself in a criminal trial. So I now have a criminal record and I had to do community service. I had to go to domestic violence classes and
oh my God. I didn't know any of this. This is crazy.
This was crazy. And it was restraining orders. I was afraid to leave my house for 6 months. So I started reading. I started learning about narcissistic abuse.
So when was this? Like 5 years ago?
This is 4 years. Yeah. We just
4 years ago. Passed
the 4 year anniversary. And I just became, you know, the detective to try and understand what happened. I did contact his ex-wife and found out, oh, this is a trick he pulls all the time. But I started my web. I think I started YouTube first. I started, like, as I was learning things, I was educating people. And I started making YouTubes. And then I created my website, never thinking that, like, if my story, I kept saying, would help one person, it would be worth it. And the coming out, talking about the divorce story has brought people from, like, Ireland to call me, and 65-year-old woman saying, I was arrested too by my husband. And I run local support groups. Every month, there's no less than 5 people who have been arrested by their narcissist. So it's a very common trick, and we really need to be aware of it. It's just, it makes them the ultimate victim. I'm the perpetrator, he was the victim. So I learned and studied. I went through therapy. I've been through thousands of courses and every kind of self-development thing you could possibly imagine I have taken on so that I can now help people. And somewhere along the line, I started my Facebook group, and I think I have 9 admins now from all over the world that help me run it. So that's me.
Wow. I mean, that's just, I had no idea that you had dealt with that. That's just crazy. So, and talk about your headspace while you were dealing with the narcissist. Because I want, for those of you who are out there listening, who are, you know, feeling guilty, feeling like it's your fault, feeling like there's something wrong with you or something, I want you to kind of describe what your headspace was during that time and how you were able to turn that around.
Well, it took a lot of work. It took so much work to get through it just at that time because there was that whole element of them turning people against you and losing the resources and the people that you had as friends. So this isolation factor, I sort of like latched onto a whole new group of friends during the divorce that kind of went along with me for years and years. But I was seeing a therapist. after the arrest, that therapist, and I'd seen him through the divorce, then through the new boyfriend thing. And after the arrest, I said to the therapist, I think he's a narcissist. I think my husband was a narcissist too. I said, what do you know about them? And he said, they like to look in the mirror. So while I was getting really, you know, I was able to talk to someone and have a dialogue, I wasn't really getting professional help that could say, that's gaslighting, that's this, you know, oh, this is a pattern repeated. If this therapist knew me from my divorce and all the crap I put up with there, he could have seen some of the similarities with the boyfriend for all those years, 2.5 years of, oh my God, why is he doing this? It's, you know, ghosting, all of these things. And I wished that I had gotten better help. I did see a lot of other professionals after that guy. And I was in total PTSD. I was put on antidepressants. I was put on anti-anxieties. I couldn't sleep. I walked around my house like a zombie, especially because now I'm in a new house and I'm all alone. And, you know, I had to start a business now. I had not been working full time when I was married. So I had to build everything back up. And having a $100,000 divorce when we were fighting over 50 was ridiculous to me. I was going to get 25. Why are you doing this to me? Just give it to me and go away. But it was evil and it was malicious and it was intentional. And so I just didn't understand it. And I was so confused and so hurt. But I kept turning for help. I just kept looking and opening up my heart to people and getting the right advice and reading the right books. You know, I think Psychopath 3, I've read it like 6 times. I was like, that's my life.
What's the book? Say it again.
Psychopath Free. Yes.
I'll put a link to it below just so that people can get it if they want it. And, you know, so how were you able to escape and finally keep going? Like what finally triggered in your head, like that this is not okay, and I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking away no matter how hard it is.
Survival. You don't have a choice. I mean, your choice is to lay and have the covers over your head or fight. And we were forced to fight, you know, and then the stories and the rumors of what he's telling people was, you know, that I was this like litigious person bringing all these things up when we were just in defense mode the whole time because we never knew what was going to be thrown at the wall. Just finding peace, learning how to ground myself. One of the most validating things that happened was after the arrest, and I'm still not really educated on any of this. I had been working with the Domestic Violence Center in Colorado. I'm on a survivor caucus now for 4 years. And those people are now my friends. And I said, this is what happened. What do I do? And they led me to a local domestic violence shelter, kind of a place that gave me counseling. And that was the most validating counseling. Finally, someone got it. Finally, someone said, that's abuse. He's using tears as a trick to manipulate you. That's abuse. And I was like, oh, I just thought he was sensitive. Oh no. You know? So really understanding it and finding that vocabulary, finding the words for a lying monkey, finding the words for you know, smear campaigns and the falsifications, and finding out that I wasn't alone was what saved me. And that's why I started the support group on Facebook.
And when did you start that support group?
About 4 years ago. Yeah.
Same time as when you started your YouTube channel.
I'm that girl. I actually have a support group on LinkedIn. I don't think anyone's ever, I have 350 members, but I don't think anyone like ever thought about doing that. I was like, support group for professionals with narcissistic abuse. And I've always been that girl. And so I just bring people together. That's what I do. And, you know, the more I start.
Because you're an empath. Probably.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's frighteningly scary that I'm an empath, that I can feel things, and I didn't realize what that was my whole life until I did so much deep work.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because, and this isn't a question that we talked about, but I'm curious to know your answer. I have recently realized that I also was a victim of narcissists, not in marriages, but in two covert narcissists in other areas of my life. And I talked about this in a video that I recently did on covert narcissism. I actually was pretty honest about it and said, you know, yeah, I have all these accolades as an attorney. I consider myself to be a pretty strong person. And yet it was able to happen because, you know, it was not part of my business life. One of them was in my business world, but not as a client. And, you know, because you think, you know, you can either help that person, or you're being kind, or you're being generous, or you're being, you know, and you kind of think, well, maybe the person is just really insecure. And so as the empath, you try to do all these things to try to make them feel better. Like, oh, you know, I can erase your insecurity and, you know, that sort of thing.
Coming up, more on Escaping Hell, How to Leave a Narcissist for Good, with Tracy Malone on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
The idea is that they have been planning this in their mind for a very long time. So even before a mention of divorce has happened, they're usually hiding money. They're usually, you know, controlling the accounts, and they started the smear campaigns. They are trying to isolate you by slowly dripping conversations to your friends. And, you know, there's a few that are really common, like she's an alcoholic, she's a bipolar person, you know, him, her, whatever it is, but they've been slipping that to your friends for a long time.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp can assist you today with your own licensed professional therapist. Private, online, super convenient. You're communicating in less than 24 hours, no waiting room, no leaving your house even. And they are committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy to change therapists if you need to change therapists. They can help you if you're wherever you are in the world, worldwide, with anything such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts. Anything you share is confidential, super convenient, affordable. I want you to start living a happier life today. And so as a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/breakingfree. Join over 800,000 people by taking charge of your mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/breakingfree. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear more on dealing with narcissists in episodes such as Do's and Don'ts of Mediating with a Narcissist with guest Dr. Romney.
But this becomes a great point of leverage, because I'll tell you, nothing incenses a narcissist more than when you're not giving them equally long, bizarre texts, like those long, long text messages, yes, that require you to click again to see the whole thing.
Right.
So what happens is, if you give brief responses like, okay,
yes,
let's talk later, they're going to just give you verbal,
right,
diarrhea,
which is great.
And now we return to today's show.
So talk about your role as an empath and how that actually made you more of a target for narcissists, because I think it's really important that people understand that.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that make us targets, and being an empath is one, being someone that has no boundaries. So in my recovery, I had to learn my own accountability. After I learned about them and the behaviors and the stages and all of the stuff that goes into what a narcissist does, I had to then go, why me? Right? And that was, yes, I'm an empath. Yes, I'm a people pleaser. I will do anything for anyone. I don't care. I will move your house next weekend if you need me to. And so a giving, caring person, but there's other things like the boundaries. I realized I was raised by a narcissistic mother in the end of this whole journey. And that's why I didn't learn boundaries. So when a narcissist is looking for someone, the empath part is a big part because they can get away with more, but someone that has loose boundaries. So they've tested you all along to see if you'd be a good person that would do their beck and call. So no boundaries is a thing. Being a people pleaser is another thing. Your own childhood, they look for what you're looking for. Because I had kind of a crappy family, if you would, I wanted someone with a really good family. They seemed so upstanding. They went on vacations together. And so I became attracted to that. So they dangled the carrot of, oh, we've got a good family. Come to our house. You know, we'll be your family. And so they're looking for whatever you're looking for. Your vulnerabilities are have to be explored. And I have a course that is how to change the story and how to learn what your vulnerabilities are so that you don't give that information to the next person in your life.
Okay, we'll make sure to drop a link to that course in our notes as well so that people can find that if they want that. But, you know, I think that's so true. And I have seen that too. And the other thing is that I've noticed, because one of the covert narcissists in my life is a family member. And I went to dinner with one of my dearest friends, who's a licensed clinical psychologist and a PhD and brilliant, you know. And I was saying that my husband was feeling guilty about, you know, putting up boundaries. Mm-hmm. And my friend said that guilt was actually instilled by this person, mm-hmm. that his sense of what's right and what's wrong is actually from that person. And so, you know, he feels bad about putting up boundaries because that's what this person wanted him to feel. And so that was a huge aha moment for us. And through his own work and whatever, he's decided to have more boundaries with this person. And it's been better for both of us in the long run. But, you know, it's, You feel guilty, but remember that a lot of what you're feeling is what they've conditioned you to feel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, when I have a book on narcissistic in-laws in up on Amazon, and I think the Audible just got approved, so hopefully that'll get out there.
That's on my website as well. I have it featured as my narcissist resources.
Good, yay! But it's. If you have a narcissistic parent, so, and I'll use the example of my husband having a narcissistic parent, he's controlled by that person, and either they have the strength to stand up to their parent so that they can protect the spouse, or they are so controlled, say by money in my case, that they've got to listen to the holy grail of the parent. So you've got these different levels of where your spouse, if you've got a narcissistic in-law, could be, where they're sort of looking at it and going, well, my husband can't even battle with his mom. He's not strong enough because he's been emotionally manipulated his whole life. That's how it was for us. They manipulated him into this divorce and ran the show. And so for me, that was such an important part out there, because people think, oh God, what am I going to do about this narcissistic in-law? And I'm using my case as an example, but it comes down to your spouse being able to stand up to them, right? If your spouse can't stand up to them, then you're in big trouble. And so when we decide to marry, we have to look at the whole family with a different lens these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times you don't even realize the person is a narcissist, especially if they're a covert narcissist, because they're so good at hiding. Like, the rest of the world thinks this person is wonderful. And they purposely put themselves in positions where everyone thinks they're wonderful. I mean, they're oftentimes clergy or doctors or, you know, in places.
Doctors, politicians,
where they only show their bad side to their target. Mm-hmm. No one else sees it. And even with their target, you know, they're constantly gaslighting. Well, I thought we had that conversation. You agreed to that. And it's something completely different than what you agreed to. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I told you that I would, you know, take care of the bills. And, you know, somebody's saying, I thought you were going to put the money in the bank account. I told you I would take care of it. And 3 days later, you're like, the money's still not in the bank account. Well, I told you I would take care of it. I meant I would take care of the bills. Well, you know, and they're constantly changing it. Well, then they haven't even paid the bills yet. I mean, and so I'm kind of getting a little bit into tricks people play in divorce. And I know you're writing a book on that. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that. Also, so I don't want to steal your thunder on that. So talk about that a little bit.
Sure, sure. So I am writing a book. We're hoping it'll be out by June. It is called You Can't Make This Shit Up. Then there's a whole subtitle about narcissists and how to be a survivor through it. But I've actually sourced not only hundreds of tricks that people from my website submitted, from my Facebook group and from my support groups that I run have submitted and gone, this is what they've done, and taking that same trick and going, well, here's how you could have gotten helped yourself on that. They turned off all the electricity in your house because it was in their name. As soon as they move out, put it in your name, protect yourself, you know, things, there are things that we can do to protect some of these things. But the idea is that they have been planning this in their mind for a very long time. So even before a mention of divorce has happened, they're usually hiding money. They're usually, you know, controlling the accounts, and they started the smear campaigns. They are trying to isolate you by slowly dripping conversations to your friends. And, you know, there's a few that are really common, like she's an alcoholic, she's a bipolar person, you know, him, her, whatever it is, but they've been slipping that to your friends for a long time with concern, not oh gosh, Tracy had so many drinks at the party last week. She's doing that so much more often. I'm really worried about her. That's just a planting of a seed before anything happens. Now, when they decide to have the divorce, all of a sudden you're a full-blown alcoholic and look, I've got proof. Didn't I not tell you about that 3 months ago? So a lot of it has been seeded before the whole event happens. But, you know, the whole, I've had people with fake filing where they've gotten legal papers from their husband and, oh my God, he just filed for divorce on me. And it was a fake document. And the game and the trick with that was to simply convince her that they could use the same lawyer. You don't need your own lawyer. But look, I've already filed. So, you know, why file? I did it. We're good.
Yeah, that's a huge one. And I can tell you as a lawyer, lawyers can't represent both of you. They can only represent one of you.
Oh, see, and that's part of the game. At least they try it, right? They throw it out there to take you off from getting a lawyer. Pull back men, you know, hold back the money so that you aren't able to hire the lawyer. So many people get stuck in that rut. And I know a lot of people end up having to take it out of, say, a 401k to be able to start the divorce process. And when you've got no assets and you're stuck, that's how they control you. They think, oh, I've got her money, she can't do it. And you end up with the raw end of the deal. But there's so many tricks they can do both before, during court, and continuing for many, many years after, right?
Yeah, I can't wait to read it. I mean, I know it's going to be fantastic. And once it's out, I will definitely feature it on my website, along with your other book, which I already have there. And I'll go back and actually add it to the notes for this particular episode, because this will live on forever. I think it's going to be fantastic. Tell us about the word Sir Thriver. You mentioned that just briefly, and I love it.
I have my little mugs. You know, everyone's always going from surviving to thriving. And I'm like, I just made up this word. And I'm like, I don't know. I love it. I've been buying lots of URLs and trademarking it. but it is what we are. We're Sir Thrivers, and we can all be Sir Thrivers if we do the work. We learn to control our own emotions, learn to move on after a divorce, and learn to have a happy life, because this is just a chapter in our life. And although it is usually a horrific, like made for lifetime TV movie kind of a chapter, we can't hold on to that. We do have to move on to the rest of our life. And so being a Sir Thriver means you survived all that. And now the best revenge is moving on. The best revenge is making a video. And, you know, for me, that was an awesome thing. It was meant to help people. But in many ways, I know that, that I feel vindicated. The truth is out there. And I'm not going to hold it back, and I'm going to thrive without any worries of them in my past.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are Sir Thriving, that is for sure. And you know, I really think that, and I tell people this, and Dr. Ramani and I actually just did a whole bunch of series together, and she and I kind of have a slight differential on, you know, I'm like all about get the hell out of there as fast as you can. She, you know, and being the psychologist, she understands that some people aren't ready, or some people aren't there yet, or they financially can't, or they have children to consider. And I get that. But I still say, as soon as you can, get the hell out of there. Because once you shut down those boundaries, you completely cut them off. And you know, they're going to keep trying to hoover. They're going to keep trying to come back, and they're going to keep trying to do whatever they can to manipulate you for a period of time. But once they're no longer getting any supply from you at all, and there's just no value anymore to be had, you're not upset by what they're doing. You're not, you know, because they get supply when you're upset. You know, then they'll just move on to their next target, their next victim, because they've got to just keep getting supply from somewhere. And if it's not going to be you, then it's going to end up being somebody else, unfortunately. So, but at least it won't be you anymore.
Well, the hardest part, I think, in this, and I was very, very blessed to not have a child with my narcissistic husband, but co-parenting with a narcissist, you know, I was able to move on because there was no more connection. Those that have to continuously deal with them and deal with the drama until the kids
are
able to make their own choices,
it's so hard.
An ongoing battle, and they have to still move on with their life too. Despite the fights, despite the weekly drama, going on with your life is got to be your choice. You have to say, I don't want that part to just be my life. I don't want the battle. I don't want to be this soldier just battling all day long. Make peace with what you can do. Use the legal system for what you need to do, and really hold on to your kids and teach them what's right and wrong, because the struggle begins with the daddy lets them stay up till midnight. You've got boundaries and rules. How come we can't be like that at the other house? Those things are always going to be there.
But, oh yeah, that happened in my divorce. And actually my ex-husband isn't even a narcissist, but you know, he was still trying to get the kids on his side. So, you know, I was trying to get them to get good grades, and, you know, and he'd say, oh, she's just such a bitch. She's so uptight, you know, and which is exactly what a 15-year-old boy wants to hear. I mean, so it doesn't help.
No, it does not. No. So,
but it is what it is. So I want to make sure that we hear about you. Where can we find you? Your YouTube channel, Narcissist Support Group, Abuse Support Group. Tell us everything.
So if you go to my website, narcissistabusesupport.com, you will find links to my YouTube channel, my podcast. I'm on Spotify. I'm everywhere. You can find resources. I built my website to bring resources to people. So it's not just a little website about Tracy. Here is every meetup support group that my team can find every month, and we check it to make sure they're either still in business or not. Find a support group near you. That was what saved my life. I started my own support group because I needed a group. Now there's 1,500 members. And so get some support. That's on my website. Find a therapist. If you're a therapist and coach that really understands this, that's on my website. So everything that you could need to recover is going to be featured on that website. And you can find everything out about me, sign up for my coaching, get some advice. I help people through their divorce. I help people after their divorce. And I help people that are dealing with a narcissistic family member as well. I've had the gamut and I've studied it all. And like I'm, you know, interviewing with you now, I interview so many experts. And before I interview them, I read books. I've read about 250 books, not only on them, but on how to heal, how to deal with the PTSD. How do we move on from the anger, the fear? Understanding your fear is going to make you become stronger. Like if fear is controlling you, the negative voices in your head, your inner child, there's so much there. So get to my website and you can find everything else about me.
You are a rock star, and I am so thrilled that I got to talk with you here today. And definitely go check out her resources, get the help that you need. It's there. So thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.